Good morning. How's everyone this morning? We're doing good. Glad you caught a ride on the Ark in this morning and dropped you off. It should be running back through about 12:30. You know, we had to say something about the rain. The rain's good, though. You know, we could be 100 degrees and very dry, so thank God for the rain. We're going to start off with some worship this morning, so if you would, those of you who are ready and here and not in the cafe getting a donut, please stand with us. As you grab a seat, go ahead and greet somebody beside you.
Good morning. Welcome to Cornerstone. You can tell it's summertime because bit. So people are getting out early and enjoying, well, I would say sunshine, but we've not had a lot of that lately, but I'm enjoying the day. We're glad you're here this morning. We did have a good first service, so I'm glad you're joining us. We're starting a new series this week called In Rhythm. And have y'all ever, I know for me, there's times in my life where things just start to click. You know, and things are going smoothly, and things are happening, and you're getting a lot of things done, and you just, I mean, the positive things are, I mean, you just like get in a rhythm when things are just going right. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It feels good, doesn't it? When you start your life, it's just hitting on all cylinders, and you're living a life in rhythm. But we also know what happens sometimes when things get out of rhythm. When there's chaos and when there's uncertainty and when we feel like we can't get anything done, nothing's happening the way we have planned out, and we just get completely out of rhythm. And so what this series is about is how do we get on rhythm and in rhythm with God, with what He wants to do in our life and what He wants to do through us as believers in Christ. So how do we get in rhythm? How do we get to the place in life where we can just really hear what God wants us to do? So that's where we're going this morning. I'm excited about it. I want to welcome you to Cornerstone. If you've see a few new faces, if you're joining us and you haven't before, if you'd fill out one of those communication cards in a seat back in front of you, we'd appreciate it just to let us know that you're here. We are thankful that we can be here this morning, and we've got a lot of man. I hope you had a great 4th of July, a great week of celebrating our nation's freedom. But we have freedom in Christ to worship here this morning, and we're excited about that. When you came in, you got a worship guide. It's got a lot of announcements on them. I'm not going to read all of them. There's lots of things going on. We've had lots of service opportunities the last week or so. We were able to hand out, I think somebody said, almost like 1,000 water bottles for the 4th of July parade. Gave those out free, and a bunch of flags for the kids. We were able to take buckets with cleaning supplies to people who had been flooded out in the bottom over here. So we were able to do that. This morning, actually right now as we speak, there's a group from Cornerstone that took a meal over to the employees of Waddell Nursing Home to thank those who are serving others. So we got a lot of different things going on, lots of ways to get involved. There's quite a few more on here, so you can take a look at that. I think Abby's got another way you can get involved coming up later this summer, too.
Yeah. Last year, we did a back-to-school event, and we handed out free school supplies and did free haircuts, and some of the girls painted nails, and I think somebody did snow cones and stuff, and we want to do that again. Last year, it was kind of interesting because we only had 2 weeks to get everything together, and we had a much bigger turnout than we expected, which was awesome. A lot of things happened, but this year, we have a little more time to get things organized. Last year, I think we had 150 to 200 people. I can't really remember. But we ran out of school supplies by the end of the day. And I know there were at least 4 or 5 families that really actually needed it. So we took down their names, you know, and brought them school supplies. But this year, I'm hoping to have enough. And if we have extra, we'll take them somewhere else. They won't go wasted. So just wanted to put the bug in your all's ear. If you guys want to help out with that, or if you are willing to donate, it would be greatly appreciated. Because like I said, again, we have a little extra time to plan and hope to gather more stuff than we had last year. So just as a reminder, you can bring the donations to the church on Sunday mornings, just when you come here downstairs.
Do we have a date yet for this?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It's on August 3rd from 9 to 12. So if you're interested in helping, you can just come ask me.
Okay. So lots of ways. One of our parts of our vision here at Cornerstone is to engage our community and engage our world for Christ. And these are just ways we can serve and give back to our community and share the love of Christ with them. So do encourage you to get involved. Lots of things happening at Cornerstone, lots of ways to get connected and get involved. Before we continue on in our service this morning, though, I just want to take a minute. And maybe you're here this morning and you've had kind of one of those weeks where you're not in rhythm, where everything's not been working out the way you've been planned. It's been a little bit chaotic, a little bit crazy. Let's just go to the Lord right now in prayer, kind of refocus our minds and get ready for what the Lord wants to do in our lives today. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being able to be in your house this morning. My prayer is that today, for all of us, that we can truly tune in and listen to your voice this morning, that we can listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us and through us, that we would be obedient to your word, that we would not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Lord, we thank you this morning for this service we have to honor you and to worship you. May we grow in our love for you and our love for others. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Mike. We're going to continue on to worship our Father this morning through music. And just before we do, just wanted to encourage everyone. If you were here last week, you kind of heard Luke speak a little bit of his heart, and I really liked what he had to say. He shared with us kind of the way he connected with the Lord through worship and music. He is a little bit more contemplatory. He liked to put his head down, not his heads. You have more than one? Just one, right? His head down and kind of close his eyes and focus that way. And that's good for some. If you're a sitter, if you're a thinker, if you connect with God that way, that's okay. If you like to stand and raise your hands and dance around, that's okay too. This morning, we kind of want to do people's choice. However you feel comfortable worshiping in song. If you want to sit, that's fine. If you want to stand, that's fine. If you're a sitter and somebody beside you stands, don't get distracted. If you like to stand and raise your hands, you know, don't feel like you're going to impose on somebody who likes to sit. This is about you finding your space with God this morning. So I want you to worship with us.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your. Just as you are to worship, come, just as you are before your God, come. One day every tongue will confess you are God, one day every knee will bow, still the greatest treasure in my victory, and He is here.
My soul, my Savior God, to Thee.
Father God, thank you for this morning, and thank you for the first service and just for the message that was shared. And I just also ask that in this one that our ears would be open and that we would hear from you this morning, God, and that you would just soften our hearts to hear what Mike has to say, and that we would take your scripture and just put it into practice in our lives. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.
Welcome to this series we're calling In Rhythm, about learning to move to the beat of God's heart. I'm going to do something this morning that I typically don't do, and I'm going to tell you a little bit, spend this morning talking about why we're doing this series. I typically just jump right in and take off, and I want to just take a minute to talk about why we are doing this series. Couple of reasons. One, we just came out of a series in the Sermon on the Mount. Incredible teaching from Jesus. So many great things that we learn from the Sermon on the Mount. But we also learn a lot about the life of a believer. It's not just characterized by what we do on the outside. It's characterized by what we are on the inside. That our character matters, that our motives matter, that our desires matter, that God looks far beyond our external actions and looks at our heart. And what I'm afraid happens sometimes as we look at the Sermon on the Mount and we look at these commands of Jesus and this teaching from Jesus, and we say, you mean really? I mean, just to God, anger and murder are on the same playing field, or lust and adultery, that's kind of the same thing. And we look at it and we say, well, how can somebody really live like that? Is this really possible for Christians to live a life of faith and live a life that looks like Jesus? And I'm afraid that so many times Christians, we read passages like that and we think it's really geared or you know, directed towards super Christians, or those people that aren't like us, that, you know, but man, there's just certain people that can live like this, and then there's the rest of us. And so what I want to do in this series is just not heap on guilt to you. I think so many times we just look at ourselves and we think, well, I'm never going to measure up. I'm never going to be that type of person. And we don't know how to get from where we are to where we need to be. And so really this series is kind of preparation. It's kind of training to take you where you are to where you need to be. It's to help you understand who God has called you to be. It's to help you understand how to connect with God and to hear from God and to listen to God's voice and allow God and the Holy Spirit to change you and transform you. So that's what we're talking about when we say In Rhythm. Another reason, and I'm just going to be selfish here a little bit, and I tell you, sometimes I do this. Sometimes I do sermon series based on what I want to learn and what I'm struggling with. And so from time to time, this is something, man, here lately my life has just been out of rhythm, so to speak. A little too chaotic, a little too hectic, a little too crazy. And so what I want to do in this sermon series is actually help myself as well. And already the books I've read, I've seen a difference in my life, and the scripture I've studied. And just in preparing for this, I'm already seeing the change kind of take place in my life. And I hope it's the same kind of change that you will experience as well. We're talking about being in rhythm. I started to do an experiment. I didn't do it. Didn't want to surprise the band too much. But I started to get the band up here. And tell everybody in the band, get a rhythm or a song in your head. Don't tell each other what it is, and just get a rhythm. And then on the count of three, everybody just start playing. Now, what do you think would happen if we did that? It'd be kind of crazy, right? Do you think they would all be playing the same song, the same beat, the same rhythm? Now, everybody would be doing something completely different. And it would really, in all honesty, it would be not just chaotic. It would be just kind of noise. When everybody just gets up banging on a drum or, you know, strumming on a guitar, and nobody's listening to the other person, there's not something driving the beat, right? Because that's what happens in a band. The drum starts playing, and then everybody else listens to that beat, the drum playing. Then the bass jumps in, and the bass kind of is the glue that holds everything together, and the rest of the instruments kind of fill in, and the sound is, I mean, and beautiful music is created, but there's one beat that everybody's playing to, right? When we lack that common theme, that common instrument driving the beat, it's just noise, just chaos. And in our spiritual lives, I think sometimes the same things happen. We do a lot of things. And even as a church, let's kind of pull back the church. There's lots of people doing different things and playing different instruments and serving and doing. But if we aren't driven by the same beat, then it just becomes noise. It just becomes chaos. It's completely out of rhythm. And what we've got to learn is what is the basis for what we do? What pulls us all together and keeps us on the same page and allows us to move forward in rhythm? It's God's heart. It's the beat of God's heart. And it's learning to move to the beat of God's heart. Learning to be so close to God that we hear it when He whispers. We hear it when He directs. We hear it, and not only do we hear it, but we act on it and we obey. And so that's really what we're talking about, being in rhythm. And I think as a church, I honestly believe that people in church, you have good intentions. You wouldn't be here if you didn't have good intentions. You want to be a better person. You want to be more spiritual. You want to follow God. You want to do the right thing. I really believe that. But the problem is we get so distracted, we get so busy, we get so out of rhythm that we don't really listen to God the way that we should. And we find ourselves making mistakes and going the opposite direction of what we know we need to do. I believe we've got good intentions. When we read a verse like John 10:10, you know, that Jesus wants us to have that abundant life. And that, you know, I've come that you may have life, you may have it to the full. And I think intellectually we know that verse. We've heard it. But I don't think in our heart we really believe it sometimes. I think in our heart we kind of hold back and say, you know, I know that's, there's more to this life, but, and we make excuses, the stage of life I am, you just don't understand what I'm going through or the situation I'm in. And what we fail to go back to is the first part of this verse, that the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so if Satan can take our mind off of what God wants to do in us and through us, where if Satan can make us focus on our failings instead of our future, what happens is we get ourselves in a place where we completely get out of rhythm. I look around and I see so many Christians that are miserable and struggling and hurting. And I have to say, it's not meant to be that way. It's not the life that Jesus intended. I got a text message last night from a pastor friend of mine. And he said, he said, I hate to tell you this, Mike, but he said, there's another pastor that you know. And he said he committed suicide last night. You know, and he left behind 3 children. And I mean, and I look at, and I mean, I'm up here this morning. My mind's with his church and his family this morning, and I've got a heavy heart about that. He's not from around here. He lives off a ways. But, you know, you try to wrap your mind around something like that. How do you get to the place following Christ where you feel that there's no hope? Is that really the way that God intended our spiritual walk to be? Is that really all there is to life? No. He has come that we may have life to the full, an abundant life. And it means we have to get so in tune with God that we hear Him, we listen, we obey. And I'm afraid that we lose sight of that so easily. We become so easily distracted. And I hope this series, no matter where you find yourself in life, whether it's in the midst of a great success or in the midst of a great hardship, that you can learn to develop a rhythm of life where you can say, I have peace and I have joy. I want to start off just by asking you a big question this morning, just to get you thinking here a little bit. And the question is this, how is your spiritual life? That's kind of a tough question. How is your spiritual life? I want you to think in your mind. You don't have to shout it out. Just think in your mind. How is your spiritual life right now? How would you describe your spiritual life? And that's a tough question, right? How do you measure it? How do you describe it? How do you explain it? For most people, the response would be something like, well, you know, I'm reading my Bible so many times a week, or I'm praying so many times a day, or, I mean, I've had a quiet time, or, I mean, you equate your spiritual life with what you do. George Barna did a study, and he said most people equate spiritual growth with trying hard to follow the rules of the Bible. And that's what most people look at spiritual growth in your spiritual life and say, well, if I follow the list of rules, then I'm doing pretty good. Here's the problem with that. We just got out of the Sermon on the Mount. The Pharisees did awesome at going by the rules, and yet they missed the whole point. So how do we know, right? I mean, that's a valid question. How do we describe our spiritual life? How do we know when we're growing? The problem is rule-keeping doesn't develop deeper faith. All it produces in us is self-righteousness, where we look down on other people who aren't doing the same things we're doing. So let me just give you a simple test, because we're not going to focus on the external behavior. That just ends up in legalism. Let me just ask you this. Is your love for God growing, and is your love for others growing? I bet you were thinking it would be something more complicated than that. If I ask you how your spiritual life is, you could ask yourself those two questions. Is my love for God growing? And is my love for others growing? And if the answer is yes, then your spiritual life is good, right? It's moving in the right direction. And so we have to kind of change our mindset, instead of focusing on a list of things to do, into what is the condition of our heart. And that's living a life in rhythm, is learning how to get from that place where we're focused on rules and we're focused on stuff and we're focused on activities and events, and getting to the place where we're focused on love. Are we really loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Are we really loving our neighbor as ourselves? I want to kind of give you a few things, some diagnostic questions to ask yourself here as we get started. I've read several good books this week. One was The Life You've Always Wanted by John Ortberg. It's spiritual discipline for ordinary people. I like it. It's very, very good book. Another one is by Larry Osborne called Spirituality for the Rest of Us. I like that one too. It's kind of the spiritual disciplines for dummies type of book. And it's right on my wavelength. I like it. I like practical stuff when I read it, right? I like being able to read stuff and say, okay, this is what it looks like, and this is how it helps me, and this is what happens, and this is what it looks like in the life of a believer. John Ortberg, in his book, he asked a few questions here, and he kind of went back to how Jesus addressed the Pharisees. And I want to just ask you these questions this morning. And the first one is simply this: am I spiritually inauthentic? Look at your life. Are you inauthentic spiritually? The Pharisees, he said, woe to you, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the plate, but inside you are full of greed and self-indulgence. And so it's so easy for us to be spiritually inauthentic, to on the outside look like we've got it all together, look like we have it all under control, but on the inside we're a mess. So are you kind of putting on a fake front there? Are you becoming judgmental or exclusive or proud? You see, that happens in Christianity a lot. You know, you start doing something or you learn something, and then you look down on people who don't do it the same way or don't share the same beliefs as you. And so you get kind of that pride, and you look down on people who don't know Christ, or you look down on people who maybe worship different from you or study different from you or whatever. I mean, and you get judgmental and exclusive. Are you becoming more approachable or less? The Pharisees, they kind of put themselves up here, and they like their position and their stature and where they sat at the best seat of honor at the banquets and the synagogues, and they love to have people call them rabbi. You see, they weren't approachable. They weren't very approachable because they thought they were up here and everybody else was down here. But Jesus kind of came and flipped that around, and Jesus was very approachable. And so in our life, are we approachable? Are we the type of person that anybody can just walk up to and share? That's another question for. Are we growing weary of pursuing spiritual growth? You see, the Pharisees, they got to the point, they said they tie up heavy burdens that are hard to bear. They lay them on the shoulders of others. And so the Pharisees, they were great at coming up with all this list of stuff you had to do and piling it on and motivating by guilt and saying, we do all this stuff. And you know, are we growing weary? Are you weary in your Christian walk right now? And what these questions start doing is help us. How are we measuring our spiritual life? All these questions, what they do, they help us look, what really is the condition of our hearts? Are we growing in Christ? Are we growing in love? Are we growing in love for God and for others? Or are we really at a point right now where we're struggling and we need help? I think if we were honest, if I were to ask everybody in the room to say, if you need help right now, where are you spiritually, in your spiritual growth, in your spiritual life? I have a feeling that the majority of people in here would say, man, I need help. And that's why we're doing this series. There's more to life than just going through the motions. There's more to life than just showing up at church for an hour a week. There's a type of rhythm that we can live in, just like eating, breathing, sleeping, that we're not even thinking about. We're just doing what God wants us to do, where we become the type of person that God wants us to be. And so that's where we're going. I want to read to you a passage out of Hebrews 5 that's kind of tough here, okay? Hebrews 5, there's a passage here that kind of steps on your toes a little bit. And it's a passage I went to this past week. Hebrews 5, verse 11. It says, there is much more we would like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and you don't seem to listen. Now, when I read this week and I started thinking, man, am I spiritually dull? Am I really listening to what God wants to speak into my life? So I'm not sharing this to condemn you. I'm sharing this is to me, okay? Are you spiritually dull and don't seem to listen? You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. How long have you been a Christian? How many people have you discipled? Have you taken under your wing? Have you shared life into? You've been believers so long, you ought to be teaching others, but instead you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. It doesn't say they don't know what is right. They say they don't know how to do what is right. And again, I feel like that's where many people in church are. They want to do right. They have good intentions, but they don't know how to do it. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training, okay, underline that, through training, they have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Through training. So this series really, it's about training ourselves. It's about preparing ourselves. It's about getting ourselves in the place where God can use us. It's about getting ourselves in a place where we respond in Christ-honoring ways. Okay, it's about being a person of discipline. What is a disciplined person? A disciplined person is someone who can do the right thing at the right time, in the right way, with the right spirit. Think about that for a minute. That's what a disciplined person is. You can respond, do the right thing, at the right time, in the right way, with the right spirit. You get any one of those things out of order, and you don't respond at the right time, or in the right way, or in the right spirit, then we're not responding in a Christ-like way. But a disciplined person, and on the inside you may be raging, but on the outside you're able to control it and redirect, and you're able to do what God has asked us to do. Respond in the right thing, at the right time, in the right way, in the right spirit. That's what living a life of discipline is about. And what spiritual disciplines do, okay, spiritual disciplines help prepare us to respond in this way. And what a spiritual discipline is, it's any activity that can help me gain power to live life as Jesus taught and modeled it. That's what a spiritual discipline is. It's something that helps me to live life the way Jesus taught and modeled it. And what we're going to do this morning, kind of dive in and talk about that a little bit. And over the next few weeks, we'll go a little bit more into different types of disciplines that can help us. John Ortberg said, spiritual transformation cannot be orchestrated or controlled, but neither is it a random venture. We need some kind of support or structure. much as a young vine needs a trellis. We need sails to help us catch the winds of the Spirit. All of us know the frustration of random, haphazard efforts that lead nowhere in spiritual life. We need a plan for transformation. We need a plan. We need help. We need training. We need preparation. And for Jesus' disciples, the plan was, hey, let's follow around Jesus and learn from him. They had Jesus in the flesh to learn from. For us, we have his scripture, his holy word that's given to us. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. So we have the tools. We've got to learn how to put them in practice. We need a rhythm for life that teaches us, okay, how do we pray and when do we pray and when do we give and when do we serve and how do we live this life that God has called us to live? How do we do these things that we know we're supposed to do, that we want to do, that we have good intentions to do, but we keep messing up? We need a spiritual strategy. We need to be intentional. We need to look at our life and be honest with ourselves and be able to assess ourselves and know that we're not where we need to be. And so what we're doing is kind of trying to understand these spiritual disciplines. I want to give you three things this morning we can do to help us understand spiritual disciplines. And kind of three kind of phrases that I hope will stick in your mind and remind you what a spiritual discipline is about. The first is simply this. It's a relationship, not religion. It's a relationship, not religion. It's a relationship, not religion. When you think about spiritual disciplines, it's really easy to get into this place of emphasizing rituals or rules. Religion and relationships, they really have nothing in common. Religion places a major emphasis on rules and rituals that either manipulate God or try to earn his favor. And so what religion is about, and I use this, what religion is about is we try to earn God's favor. We try to do enough good stuff where God will like us. We try to change God's mind about things through rituals or through what we do. And that's religion. It's man's attempt to appease God. It's kind of a one-size-all approach to spirituality. It's, let's try to make God happy. Let's do enough good stuff. But a relationship is completely different. As a parent, and I've shared before, I've got three kids, and my three kids have extremely different personalities. They relate to me as their father in completely different ways. It's interesting to see how my kids relate. And maybe as your parents, you think about this. Your kids, they do. Some of your kids just like crawl up in your lap and give you a big hug and are all cuddly and warm, give you those warm, fuzzy feelings. And then some of your kids just like make fun of you and like pick on you and like walk up and hit you for no reason. And you're like, what is that? You know, but that's how they're showing and demonstrating love, right? They're relating to their father in different ways, or relating to their mother. It's the same thing with our Heavenly Father. You know, we're all created very differently. And the way you relate to God is going to look a little bit different than the way I relate to God. Your personality. We talked about it even in our worship, the way we worship, the way we respond in worship. You may see somebody standing up with their hands in the air and think, man, that's a weird person. And they may be looking at you like you're sitting down like you're a weird person. I mean, that's just, right? I mean, we're all different. And that's okay. Our personalities are different. The way we connect to God is different. Gary Thomas wrote a book called Spiritual Pathways. And he gives 9 different pathways that we can connect with God. 9 different ways and everything from nature to worship to service to, I mean, there's all these different ways that we connect with God. Why? Because we're wired differently. And so part of getting in rhythm is learning your pathway, learning how you connect with God. And it may look different from the person beside you. But here's the thing. Most churches they come up with programs and models and classes that look the same for everybody and don't take into account that we all are different. And so what your road to spiritual growth is, it may look completely different from mine. But if it's focused on following Jesus, if it stays true to the Bible and it stays true to following after Jesus, then even if it looks different from mine, it's okay. And we've got to learn that. John 15:5 says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So John 15:5 is this picture of we're just abiding in Christ. We're connected to Christ. We've learned to connect. And when we're connected, we're producing fruit in our life. So that's the type of life we are to live. There was a study that was done a few years ago. A bunch of church, thousands of churches, thousands of believers. And they kind of learned how people grew spiritually. They found for people who are new to the faith that prayer and Bible study were the catalyst to spiritual growth. But they found kind of an unexpected finding, and it was those people that were committed to Christ, the people who were mature in their faith, 25% of them claimed that they were stalled in their growth. They were stalled out. They weren't moving forward. They weren't really going anywhere. They were dissatisfied with their spiritual life. And I think that study, as I reflected on it, I think that's pretty true in most churches. You've got a lot of people who have been Christians for a number of years, but yet they're not happy with where they are. And they're kind of stalled out. They're kind of maybe doing something, but they're not really moving forward. And that's what happens when people start leaving the church and when people start complaining, right? When people start complaining, well, this church, I'm not learning anymore. Or I'm not being fed is the classic thing that people say. Or, man, I need something else. And here, if that describes you, if you're in that place, I want you to listen to me this morning. What you need is not another program. What you need is not another process. What you need is not another event. What you need is not more of me. What you need is more Jesus. What you need is more of Jesus. You get to a point in our spiritual life where instead of being spoon-fed, just like we read in Hebrews chapter 5, we're ready for some solid food. We're ready. I had a campus pastor that told me in college, he was just like, all these people complaining about they're not being fed. The problem is they're not picking up their fork and spoon and eating themselves. And there's time in life where we have to start showing some effort. We have to start training. We have to start preparing ourselves. That's part of this relationship. You need more of Jesus. Not more teaching, not more programs or another study. You just need more of Jesus. And that's why we talk about the importance of a relationship, of arranging your life where Christ is at the center of everything you do. Ephesians 5 says this. Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2 says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His children. Here's that relationship, the family, the family aspect here. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us, and He offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. So it starts with a relationship. Breaking out of that habit of just trying to please God by what you do, but entering into a relationship where we're listening and learning and letting Him lead us day by day. Now, that's part of learning to live in rhythm. The next thing that kind of I want to jump into is understanding the spiritual disciplines. It is spiritual discipline. It's training, not trying. Training, not trying. If I were to ask, okay, guys, I want to run a marathon, and I'm going to run it right after church. So, everybody, let's go down and let's all run a marathon after church. 26.2 miles. And you may be there and say, I've always wanted to run a marathon. That sounds like a great idea. Let's do it. And you think positive. You have a great, you may be sitting there and thinking, oh, I can do it. Oh, yeah. You may have confidence. You may be encouraged. You may, your person beside you may be nudging. You say, yeah, you can do it. Okay, I believe I can do it. And if you get out there and you try as hard as you can, I'm just going to tell you, there ain't many people who can run a marathon. Maybe a few in here. But most people, you're going to hit that pavement. And I don't care how positive you are. If you have not trained, I don't care how hard you try, you're not going to make it very far. Now, I've got a great conditioning. Now, I can run from my couch to the refrigerator without any problem. I mean, I can make that easy right now. Okay? I've worked my way up to that, and I'm going to work my way up a little bit farther next time. Okay? But, I mean, it takes training. It takes more than just trying. Would you agree with that? I mean, you can try, but it takes training. If you're serious, you really have to get to a point where you enter into a life of training. And it's not just athletics. It's whether it's you're playing a musical instrument or learning a foreign language or running a business. If any significant challenge in life, including spiritual growth, there's training involved. That's why Paul in 1 Timothy 4, he said this. He said, this is Paul writing to young pastor Timothy. He said, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths, but rather train yourself in godliness. Train yourself. Train yourself. You got to prepare yourself. And if you're an athlete, you know what I'm talking about. You know what it takes to train yourself. In spiritual transformation, it's not a matter of trying harder. It's a matter of training wisely. It's a matter of having the right coach, the right power inside of you. And that we see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Another passage that helps us. This athletic imagery that Paul uses. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do spiritual training to get a crown that will last forever. We do strict training. You know, the Christian life, it's more than just showing up for church 1 hour a week. If you want to live a life of rhythm, it's living life in Christ each day, each moment. It's having Christ not as a part of your day, but as at the center of your day. At the center of your day. And so when we learn to think and feel and act like Jesus, it's demanding. It's tough. It means we have to get to know who Jesus is, and that means we have to be saturated in His Word, that we have to be learning from His Word who Jesus is and what He's like. It means we have to be communicating with Him in prayer. But there's all these other spiritual disciplines that help us connect with God. If I say the word spiritual, if I say the word discipline, how many of you think of something like good and happy? No, I mean, right? You say the word discipline, it's like, man, it makes you think back to your childhood, right? I mean, it means getting in trouble. You're disciplined for something you did wrong. And so if that's how you think, when I say the word spiritual disciplines, if that's where your mind goes, call it something else. Call it spiritual exercises, spiritual practices, spiritual calisthenics. I don't care, okay? The purpose is it's preparing you. It's preparing you to be who God wants you to be. Here's a few things of what spiritual disciplines are not, okay? I kind of like learning this way what spiritual disciplines are not. The first thing they're not a measure of your spirituality. Okay, you could say, man, I read my Bible every day, I pray, and you could still be hateful to other people, you could still be unloving, you could still be deceitful in how you deal with other people. You could do spiritual disciplines and still have the wrong heart and the wrong motive. Wasn't that the whole purpose of the Sermon on the Mount when we read it? The Pharisees, the religious leaders, they had the wrong motives, the wrong desires. They knew how to do what is right. Man, they even tithe the tenth of their spices. Now think about that. I mean, it's crazy what they did, the length they went. But that did not measure their spirituality because they did not love God and they did not love others. So spiritual disciplines are not a measure of our spirituality. They're also not necessarily unpleasant. If we're learning how to be people who have joy and peace and kindness and goodness, don't you think we could have a little fun doing it? If we're to be people of joy, doesn't it mean that we can have joy in learning how to be joyful? It's like when you say spiritual discipline, everybody thinks you got to walk around like a monk, you know, and not say anything to anybody for like months at a time and go into vows of silence and poverty and sell everything. We're to be people of joy. We have an incredible message to share. So they're not necessarily unpleasant. And finally, they're not a way to earn favor with God. They're not a way to make God like us more. You know what? He loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. That's how much He loved us. In the midst of our sin, in the midst of our pain, He loved us enough to send His Son to die on the cross for us. We're not going to make Him love us any more than He already does. What we do is we do these spiritual disciplines to learn how to connect and to listen to God. So we learn that it starts with a relationship. It moves, it's training for us to be godly. And then finally, the third thing this morning is that spiritual disciplines, they're tools and not rules. They're tools and they're not rules. Proverbs 1 is an interesting passage. It kind of explains the purpose of the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 1, verse 1 through 7, we read, "These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline." So are you growing in wisdom and you're growing in your discipline? "To help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Fools despise wisdom and discipline. And so in our life, if we're honest with ourselves, we look in, we examine our heart, and we see an undisciplined life where we have trouble making Christ the center of our life, where we have trouble making wise decisions, then we look at this verse, and it's pretty clear, right? Then we're fools for not trusting in God completely. And so what being disciplined is, and what these spiritual disciplines do, they're tools to help us do the right thing in the right way at the right time with the right spirit. Okay, they're tools. They're not rules. And what I've noticed around, when you're around other Christians, is whatever way they have learned to connect with God becomes, the way that everybody has to connect with God. Have you sensed that before? It's kind of like, if somebody, man, if they are a prayer warrior, and I've read books, and I'll just tell you, I've read books about like Christian pastors who would like sleep like 2 hours a night and get up at like 2 a.m. and like pray for 4 hours every day. And if I read that and say, oh, I need to do that. If God tells me to, obviously I need to do it. But if I, I'm just going to tell you, if I get less than 7 hours of sleep a night, I'm not going to love God and love others. You don't want to be around me. Sleep is a spiritual discipline. Why? Because it helps me love God. It helps me love others. Yes, I need to pray. It doesn't mean I don't pray. But if I woke up every morning and tried to function on 2 hours sleep, man, you do not want to be around me. So, we got to be really careful when we look at somebody else and how they're living their life. And for some reason, I think we always compare ourselves to others. So you'll hear me talking about maybe reading books. I love reading books. Just in preparing for this series, I've read like 3 or 4 books in just in the last week or two. And so you hear and you think, man, if I was a real Christian, I need to read books. And I've honestly talked to people in our church who say, I have dyslexia. To read a paragraph takes me an hour. They're not going to be there. And if they think their measure of spirituality is to read, 20 books a year or, whatever, they're going to constantly look at their life and say, I'm never going to measure up. How do you connect with God? The way God has wired you. Spiritual disciplines are tools. Rules apply to everybody. They're the same all the time. Tools mean that you can pick up the one and use it when you need it the most. And so what happens as we grow in our spiritual walk, as we grow closer to Christ, we find ourselves in a situation. And we say, okay, I'm in the midst of this. What I really need right now is some time of focused prayer and fasting. And that's what I really need. You learn to recognize the tools you need in the season of life you're in. Or what I need right now is, man, I just need to meditate on the powerful promises of God in Scripture. And so you just start reading those promises. Or you get in and you say, I use this word a lot. I'm peopled out. I've been around people too much. So I just have to get away a little bit. And focus on my relationship with Christ. And so we learn that that there are times and places to use different tools and different ways to help us connect and stay on rhythm. And that's what spiritual disciplines do. They're tools that help us. They're not a long list of things we have to do. They're tools to help us grow closer in our relationship with Christ. Now, the only way you're going to know which ones and how they work and what they do is to try them all. And I would tell that to anybody. You know, over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about prayer and confession and giving and serving and solitude and silence and fasting and all this stuff. And for some of you, you're like, man, I've never done that or I've never tried it. Now is your opportunity to kind of put some of these in practice in your life. Start slow. Start small. See what happens. And you may learn that you connect to God in a way that you didn't know before until you actually try something. But spiritual disciplines, they're tools that help us. And they're not based on our personality. They are based on our personality because they help us connect to our Heavenly Father. They're based on who He's made us to be, how He's wired us, and how He's created us. And I think when you understand that, you understand why you run across so many godly people who feel like they never measure up. Because they're constantly comparing themselves to other people and other disciplines and other people who have strengths and personalities very different than their own. And when you realize that and you understand that God has made you unique, Ephesians 2:10, that we are His masterpiece, that He has created, He's prepared for us in advance to do good works. We are His masterpiece. He has created us. He has made us, transformed us, and put us where we are for a reason. And I just want us to be able to look at that and understand that. In closing, I just kind of want to share a couple final thoughts with you guys. The first thought is simply this. We can do all these spiritual disciplines. We can have everything look right on the outside. But unless we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, we're just kind of spinning our wheels. We're just kind of going through the motions. You see, let me use this analogy. There's a difference between a motorboat and a sailboat. You get on a motorboat, fill it up with gas, crank it up, you drive it, you can go anywhere you want. You're in control. But when you get in a sailboat, you get everything ready, you hoist the sails, right? You get everything prepared, but you don't move until the Holy Spirit you don't move until the wind blows, right? In a sailboat, the wind is what moves you. In your spiritual life, what spiritual disciplines do? They hoist the sails. They get us in a position. They get us prepared. They get us in a place where God can use us to do what He wants to do through us. But ultimately, it is the Holy Spirit who propels us forward. It's the Holy Spirit who creates the growth. It's the Holy Spirit who transforms us. We don't transform ourselves by our own effort. We are transformed when we prepare ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to use us. Do you understand the illustration there? So really, spiritual disciplines, they start when we surrender our life to God and say, I'm not driving the boat. I'm just hoisting the sails. You're in charge. I'm going to surrender my life to You because I trust Your way better than my way. It's when we are saved, when Paul says we are justified by faith, when we are given a new life in Christ, when we cross over from death to life, we are given a new heart. We're given a new purpose. We're given new desires even. And so at that moment, when we come to Christ in faith, we start this process of Him shaping us and molding us and transforming us. We start the process of preparing ourselves to be used by Him. And so if you think of spiritual disciplines and prayer and fasting and all these things as just something you do between you and God, then you've kind of missed the point. You do them to prepare you to be used by God, to love God and to love others. They prepare us. They get us in a place where we can be used. So really, what I want us to understand, we want to be people that do the right thing at the right time, in the right way, with the right spirit. And so our task is to get ourselves in that place. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be getting into the practical side of this. What does it look like? How do you start? A lot of people, you say, oh, I've never really done this. And I want to help you, whether it's Bible study or prayer or confession or fasting, serving, giving, all these things that we put into practice in our life. They get us in a place where God can use us. Because the Christian life is so much more than just going to church. One last passage for you, Galatians chapter 5. And the praise team, y'all can come on up as I'm reading this. This last passage here, Galatians chapter 5. This is the type of life that we want to live. This is what we want to look like. Galatians 5 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what spiritual growth looks like. It's a life that's defined by these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. That's a life in rhythm, that we're staying in step with the Spirit of God. So right now, I want to ask everybody, you bow your heads. And I just want to, I started this message by asking you, how is your spiritual life? And I kind of want to revisit that. How is your spiritual life? First of all, do you have one? Have you given your life to Christ? Have you surrendered yourself? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ alone to save you? I shared earlier that Jesus Christ loved us so much that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He came and He died on the cross to take our punishment, to take our shame, and to give us a new life. Romans 10 says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved. You'll be given a new life, a new start here today. That's the first step on your pathway to spiritual growth, is to surrender to Jesus Christ. For those believers that are here this morning, Heavenly Father, I pray for them that they would not become weary, that they would not become discouraged, that they would not give up. If they are stalled out, if they are frustrated, this morning is a time where they can really think about what it means to follow after You. That it's not religion. It's not a set of rules. It's not even trying hard. It's a matter of a relationship. It's a matter of training and preparation. And it's a matter of using the tools You have given us to grow closer to You and to be used by You. Lord, I pray that over these next few weeks that You would work inside of us. That You would create a hunger and a thirst inside of us to know You more. That we would be able to say that we're holding nothing back. We want to know You, Lord. We want to know You in a way where we live our life in just constant communication and constant rhythm with the God of the universe. Lord, I pray for those here this morning that are going through tough times. We pray from my pastor friend who... for his family, for his church this morning. I just pray that You would just give them strength. We pray for this community we live in, that they would be able to look to us and see joy and strength and peace and patience and goodness and kindness. All those fruit of the Spirit, that they would be displayed in us. Lord, we love You this morning. We want to lift up Your name. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So we close this morning, a couple things. One, you have communication cards in the seat back in front of you. You can let us know what decisions you've made. We've got a baptism coming up in about a month from now in August. So we've got that coming up. There's all sorts of different steps you can take. I'm going to be over to the side as we close out the service this morning. And if you've got questions, want to pray, just anything, you just come over, feel free. Just listen to the Spirit. We've got a lot to be thankful about in our country, and we've celebrated our freedom throughout this week, and we're going to kind of close in a special way this morning.
I had said in the last service how much I needed Mike's message this morning, and something I was thinking about that I had just learned a lot about this past year is, you know, we talk about being free and thankful for freedom, and it was brought to my attention. I mean, I knew of persecution a little bit, but not to the extent that I learned. There are Christians worldwide that are they have no freedom whatsoever to practice their faith. And, you know, all the things that Mike talked about this morning, like praying and being in Scripture and just spending time with the Lord, they're people who, if the government or whoever were to find out that they were doing that, in the very least, they would just be sent to jail for the rest of their lives. But most are tortured and killed, and it's just super sad. But we're ending out with America, and I just encourage you guys to, this week in your prayers, and as you're just thanking God for all the things that He has given you, truly recognize the freedom that we have to practice our faith, because it's exactly what it is, and it's a freedom, and it's a blessing from God. So if you guys would just stand and sing America with us as we close out.
For spacious skies, for